always I get kind of restricted a little bit on at Christmas with the text and all that we need to use. And 28 years of preaching on at Christmas is trying to find a different way to look at things, and maybe sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, but anyway, that's it. Appreciate everybody. We did have a few things going on. I want to encourage y'all. The new year's coming up, and we make new year's resolutions sometimes, but we had the men's fellowship breakfast yesterday, and like to encourage the men to come out to that. It's good. Somebody pointed out to me one time how we need fellowship, right? And so we had good. Appreciate the men fixing up, cooking, cleaning, and we had biscuits and gravy. We had pancakes, bacon, eggs, pound cake. Orange juice, coffee. It was a good deal. And I had a lot of people got to take stuff home. We had some leftover biscuits and gravy, and I think everything went out. We had the seniors' night out Thursday night. We went out and rode all over the place and in the bus, and I encourage you, if you want to get out with that, we might have to end up getting another bus or a bigger bus. We had 15. It was like sardine. I know what a sardine feels like now. We were in the back row, but we hacked it out. We had some funny. We tried to change places in the seat. Donna and Sandy tried to change places in the middle of the ride. That didn't work out too good. It was wrestling and tugging and swinging and around and pulling and pushing. And when it all was over, they were sitting right where they had been when it all started out. So, but it was it. We had a good time with that. Probably ate too much, and as usual. And also, we had those things going on, something for the seniors, something for the men. Ladies got some fellowship going on as well. Prayer advances coming up. I didn't mention that, but I'm going to encourage the men. Probably the best thing we go to outside the church all year long is the men's prayer advance. It'll be at the end of January. I think whatever the last weekend, Thursday, half a day, Thursday, Friday, all day, and Saturday, and it's great. We go up there and we have a good time, and it's been a blessing to us. And I think David Gibbs is going to be there this year. CLA attorney, and Brother Gibbs knows how to speak, and he knows the Lord, and that's a blessing. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Amen. We can tell, of course, in our text, this is right after the birth of Jesus, about 8 days later after his birth. But I thought I'd preach that today and kind of get more on the birth as we get a little closer to Christmas Eve. But the title of the message today is Preparing for Christ. And every year we do a lot of that. We've been preparing for Christ. I think we might have everything done by Christmas Eve. I'm looking around the house at a lot of stuff there sitting around. I asked Sherry the other day, I said, we're going to do something with this box of ornaments that's sitting under the tree still. She said, yeah, if we're not going to hang any more on the tree, listen, I moved them last night. So we'll get there, eventually. But we're all preparing, and some people, started their shopping back in summer. Some people think way ahead. We had Black Friday in November, so some people look at that. You know, some people are last minute. I bought a few things on Christmas Eve back in the days. Boy, I went to Springfield Mall up in Northern Virginia one time on Christmas Eve, and I promised myself I'd never do that again. And I didn't. It looked like the last day of school, man. I mean, there was papers everywhere all over the place, people running around, you know, mowing you over to get that last present. But some people wait for the last minute. Some people decorate early. We get decorating early. Some people leave their decorations up year round. The lights on the house. Some people that have artificial trees put a sheet over it or a bag, and if they got a place to put it, they slide in. Some of you will smile, and you probably did that. Got the tree decorated, whip it out, and if you got to pull it out of that closet or wherever you put it when Christmas comes around again. And so we see a lot of preparations. We're probably still doing them, still doing those things. But preparing for Christmas and preparing for Christ is not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, which is more important than preparing for Christmas. And the question today is, are you prepared for Christ? Prepared for Christ. And we don't know exactly when we're going to see him face to face. It could be at death, it could be at rapture, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to see him face to face one day, and the question is, are you prepared? So we see in our text, there's a man named Simeon, and we're doing a little study in Romans on Sunday school, and pay attention for those of you in Sunday school class over here on this side, that this guy was a Jew. He was a Jew, but you know, we think about him, and it said that he wouldn't see the consolation of Israel. I'll tell you about that in a second, but he wouldn't see the Christ until wouldn't die until he saw the Christ. Now, because of that, a lot of people think that he was a very old man, but you know, we learned on study, and we did a Bible study on Wednesday night that we're done with now on how to study the Bible, and we learned some things about studying the Bible, and one of them is not to presume or assume, and it doesn't tell us anywhere in there that he's an old man. It doesn't say it in the text anywhere that he was specifically old or that he was going to die like that week after that he had seen the Christ. So just thought I'd throw it in there, but his age isn't mentioned. But here's the point. The point about this is, listen, there's nobody, it doesn't matter how old you are, age doesn't have any bearing on the point of whether you're prepared for Christ or not, whether you're prepared to meet Christ. And so, you know, it doesn't, you could be at any age. I've been pastoring a long time, preaching a long time, and I've done funerals from a stillborn to a 107-year-old lady and everything in between, and there's no guarantees for the time there. And so the point is this, that no one is really prepared to die. And Simeon was prepared now whenever his death was going to take place. No one is prepared to die until they have seen Christ. And not only seen Christ, but I mean met Christ and then received Christ. See, you can see him and not be saved. You can meet him and not be saved. But when you receive Christ, now you have salvation. Now you are really ready to die. I've been with people that were on their deathbed and that they said that to me. They said, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die. I said, well, look, you can get ready to die. They didn't mean it in that same way. I don't know that anybody's ready in the sense of time, unless they've really suffered a lot, but most people aren't. They're thinking, wishing it was going to be longer. But we're going to look at Simeon's life as, and I believe it'll be a blessing to us as we start thinking about preparing for Christ a little bit more than preparing for Christmas. Number one, we see the point is seeking God. Verse 25 said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, of course, that's the holy city, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It tells us that. So he said he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So that means that he knew something, you know, that was to take place that concerned the Jews, and that means that consolation of Israel means the messianic hope. They were looking for a Savior, not in the same way that they thought, their thoughts about what the Savior, who he would be, what he would be when he came, what he was going to be and what he was going to do. They didn't have that really straight in their mind, but nevertheless, they were looking for a Savior. And It's really the messianic hope or the consolation of Israel is the Jewish aspect of the gospel of grace. And they were just looking for a Messiah, which we were looking for a Savior, or should be looking for one. But they were looking for a king that would reign, which Jesus will be a king. He'll be two kinds of kings, really. He's a king that rules and reigns in the hearts of men, but he'll be a physical king on earth one day when the millennial kingdom is set up, and then the New Jerusalem later on after that. He'll be a physical king there. And the Jews were looking for that the whole time. The one thing the Jews couldn't see in between was the church age. We talked about this morning. God's got the Jews sitting on a shelf right now, but he's going to use them again. But this is the times of the Gentiles. We talked about the fact that sometimes people can't see, even on the Christian side of things, they don't see that. But that's what the Bible says. This is the times of the Gentiles, and it even gives us the length of time of the times of the Gentiles. They couldn't see that. But I'm going to tell you what, this guy ended up seeing it, and I'll show you in a minute, saw something about it. So they couldn't see that. But here we have a guy this guy was looking for God's plan, for God's program. He was in Jerusalem. He would go to the temple. He was devout. He was waiting. And so that waiting, that's a faith word, waiting with anticipation. That's what it's talking about. He was looking. They didn't know when. I mean, listen, that was 2,000 years ago. He was looking for a Savior then. And buddy, we're closer to the Savior coming back. He was looking for it from the Jewish point of view, of course, but we're closer today than we've ever been. He was looking. He was anticipating that. He believed the Word of God, and so that's what that means. You know, he was just looking. He was waiting, and that's how he waited. It said that he was a just man. That means that he was righteous. He was virtuous. It also means just in that sense for a Jew meant that he had faith in what God said about the sacrifices, about sacrificing animals. He did what God said to do. For that dispensation, he went to the priest. He went to the temple. They had atonement was made for their sins. But he was a good man. He was a good neighbor, I would say. He was a fair man. He tried to do what was right, just and righteous. That's what that means. He was trying to do what was right. And then it says that he was devout. He was a devout man. That means he's devoted to God. Devoted to God. Now listen. You're not really ready to meet Christ until you're devoted to God. I mean, there's a difference, and this meant devout, meant commitment. Man, he was committed to God for whatever God had. That God had a priority in his life. You know, the Jews, they would go to the temple every day. The early church, when you get over to Acts, guess when they met? Every day. It usually in the evening. It was going to be in the evening because they worked every day. They didn't have weekends off. They didn't have those things. But they met together every day. Not because they had to, because they wanted to. Because they were devout, because God had a priority in their life. Everything. Their life revolved around the things of God. And boy, if the church ever gets this straight, if we could get this straight in our life, I'm going to tell you what, your life would be less complicated. Your life would be more joyous. Your life would be, it would be a fulfilled life, a satisfied life. When we start thinking that, you know what, everything in my life revolves around God, His program, what's going on at the church of God. You know, where God, you feel like God's led you to be, this is the place, whatever's going on there, that's the center part of my life. Everything else is secondary. Everything else will take a back seat to what's going on with God's program. Reaching the lost, preaching the word, teaching the word, fellowshipping with God's people. They were around each other because they loved being around each other. They got around and said they were filled with joy. You get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, let me tell you something. There's going to be an overwhelming and there's going to be an overriding emotion, and that emotion is going to be love. Listen, you're going to love everybody. It don't matter what they look like. It don't matter what they say. You're going to forgive everybody. It doesn't matter what they say to you, how they say it. You're going to love them no matter what, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and it's going to pour out of you like, and there's no stopping it. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to love to be around God's people. You'll love to be around. You'll love to be around God's people. You'll love to be around God's church. You'll love to be around the preaching. You'll love to be singing. You'll sing with joy. You'll be out there. I won't even recognize it. You'll be out there with a big old grin on your face, nothing but teeth. That's all I'm going to see if you got them. And all I'll see is teeth. And you're going to be smiling and singing because you're going to be filled with the love of God. That's what happens. This is what happens when we get committed to God and He's a priority in our life and we get filled with God. I hadn't got to that point, but I'll throw it in right there. And you know what? The worship was a priority down at the temple every day. That's where He wanted to be. That's where He felt at home. Man, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be at home with God's people. We ought to be at home in God's house. We ought to feel comfortable here. We ought to be comfortable wherever God's people are in the world, anywhere, no matter what they look like, what nationality, what language they speak. We ought to be comfortable with God's people. He was there. So everything was a priority for Him. It was God. He was devout, devoted, committed to the things of God. And it says that He was, that the Spirit of God, it said the Holy Ghost was upon Him. Now, at that point in time, the Holy Ghost wasn't a permanent possession yet. We hadn't got to Acts. We hadn't got to the day of Pentecost for the church. And he wasn't a Christian, so to speak, yet. This guy wasn't. But the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Holy Ghost came on men and women in those days when God was going to do something with them, when God was going to reveal something to them, when God was going to use them some way. And, boy, I'm going to tell you what, He came on men, and that was it. And so, boy, here it was. He was who does the Holy Ghost fill today? When you think about who the filling of the Holy Spirit, who does the Holy Spirit fill? I'll tell you what, He fills the devout. He fills the faithful. He fills the committed. He fills those that have Him as a priority in their life. That's when God comes upon those people, man. And it's usually, look where He was, you know. He was there. When He got filled with the Holy Ghost, guess where He was? In the temple of God. Where did he go every day? In the temple of God. He went there because he was filled with the Spirit of God. And that's when he was filled there. And God had something to say something to him about that. He was waiting. He was another thing. Who does God speak to in life even today? People that are looking. People are looking for God to say something to them. When they get the word out and say, God, I'm going to pray, and I get the word out, and I'm reading the word, not just so I can check the box off that says that I read the word of God, but that I'm reading the word of God because, God, I want you to say something to me, and he does say something to you there, but boy, when it's impressed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, man, listen, then, boy, then you're enlightened. Then your eyes are open. This is what happens, and I mean, so somebody that's looking, I mean, listen, if you're not looking for God to say anything to you, now, he may say something to you, but I don't know that you'll know it. I don't know that you're really looking for it. You know, you got to be looking for it. That was it. You'll hear it. Boy, if you're listening for something in life, in any situation, you're prone to hear it if you're listening for it, right? And prone to miss it if you're not, right? And so he was listening for that. And then God fills that man. God fills that man with himself right there, man. Here was a guy that was he was seeking God. And then the second thing, like I said, seeking God, and then there's hearing God. Verse 26, it says, and it was revealed. I got that underlined in my Bible. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That he had some confidence. Now, how did God reveal it? I don't know. I don't know that it was an audible voice, but there was some kind of peace in his soul that he knew he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ, the Savior, just something that he was confident about that. He felt that somehow. I'm not going to presume. It doesn't say how it was, but this was it. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. That's how it works, and he had a peace about it. And, you know, that's who does, once again, who does God speak to? God speaks to the just, the devout, the seeking, the faithful man. That's who. I think he speaks to other people too, but he's got something else to say. But who does God, I mean, really, if you're lost, I believe God speaks to you about it. I believe God's going to call on you to himself that you need to get saved. I don't think God's going to reveal to you some great plan of his. I don't think God's going to reveal his plans and reveal his will in a way where God can use you. He's not revealing anything of that nature to you. He's just revealing to you whether you need to be saved or not. Sure he does. But man, listen, he speaks to this man, this proverbial man, the proverbial man there, divine things, spiritual things. things concerning His will, things concerning His plans, things His program for the world. That's who He reveals things to, the devout man, this man filled with the Holy Ghost. And like I said, revealed he shouldn't see death till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Didn't say he was going to die right then. Didn't say he was going to die anytime soon. It just said he wouldn't see death until that happened. So we see this man, he was hearing God. And then we see in the next point is he was following God. Look what it said. He came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Where does the man that is filled with God get? Where's he at when Sunday school starts? Where's he at when Sunday night comes on? Where's he at on Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting? Where is that man that's filled with the Spirit of God? Where does the Holy Spirit lead you? Honestly, you think about it. Hebrews 10:25, every preacher knows this verse. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But, there's another verse, part goes in there. But forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. That's what it says. Where's the Spirit-filled man at when the doors are open on the church? At church. At church, that's where he is. This way, he said he was led. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He said the Holy Ghost was upon him, and he was led by the Spirit. Now, you telling me that the Holy Spirit, that God, that Jesus Christ established a church, and Jesus Christ died for the church, and he's coming back for the church, and he established local assemblies, the church, and that the Spirit of God's going to lead you to stay away from it? You believe that, you're lying to yourself. That isn't what the Word said. That's not what the Word of God says. And so here he was. He was following God. He was followed by God. And then what happens? You know what? There's so many lessons that the Bible teaches about being faithful in the small things before you're entrusted with many. And if we're not faithful in the small things, nothing, you know, we don't go to the, he can't feed us anymore. Bible talks about, boy, there's babes in Christ, people that have been saved for years, and they're still only can take milk. They can only take the milk of the Word. They're not mature enough to take the meat. You know, that been see what, that's it. Because, why? Because they're not listening to God in the small things. They're not listening to what God has to say in those simple things. Before we can move on to deeper things, right? This is just the way it is. I remember, listen. God called me to preach. God called me to pastor. I didn't really want to be a pastor, necessarily. I wanted to preach because I knew what kind of headaches pastors had. But God led this way. God led this way, right? But I'm going to tell you what. Who does God call to do this? I wasn't laying out in the gutter drunk somewhere and God said, hey, listen, I'm calling you to preach. I'm going to tell you what, I got saved, man, and by the Holy Spirit of God, I was led to church. And I'm going to tell you what, I already had it all settled. I already had coming to Sunday school settled. I already had on Sunday night settled. I already had Wednesday night settled. It didn't matter. Everybody thought, well, we got kids. I raised my kids that way. We didn't start church till 7:30 on Wednesday night. Oh, my gosh, Johnny's got to get in bed. Let me ask something. Let me weigh this out. Sleeping in bed versus learning the Word of God and learning about God. Which one of them two you think is going to weigh out in God's plan as important? Huh? Well, we didn't get home till 9 o'clock, and everything turned out all right. My son's sitting over here right now. He's okay. He's fit as a fiddle. He's okay. He's all right. He's not going to the psychiatrist because he was sleep depraved when he was a child. My parents didn't let me get enough sleep, and I just suffering from, you know. He's not. He don't have any problems, right? Yeah. You know. Well, he made out all right. We didn't go till 7th, but we went, man. We went. I got involved in church. I got saved. My pastor led me to the Lord and was going down the front steps of the house. He got down to the bottom step. I'm hanging on the rail and said, hey, when can I get baptized and can I join the choir? I wanted to serve God. See, why? Spirit of God. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you what God does when he fills a man with himself. Huh? He didn't fill you just so you can sit there like a bump on a log and do nothing. huh? I'm hoping he fills a bunch of you tonight to help drag that thing over there. You know, but I'm just saying. It's God doesn't fill us to do nothing. He doesn't, you know, he does. He fill, men so see it all happen. This is what happened. This is what God does. So who did God call to preach? Somebody. So what happened was I had going to church all figured out. The basics. It wasn't like iffy. I already knew what I was going to do next Sunday. I already knew what I was going to do. See, you get all that settled before God can take you to the next things in life. That's just the way it is. You know, he doesn't do it. Listen, God say, listen, brother, if you quit drinking and doing dope and start coming to church, I'm going to use you. God doesn't work like that. He leads us away from those things, and we got to listen. We got to follow God. We got to follow what God says. So the leading's not the question, it's the following. The following is questions. Are you following the leading of God? You're following the leading of God. If you're not following the leading of God, then we have to back up and question the question that we had. Are you prepared to meet Christ? Or have you met Christ? Huh? Are you prepared to die? If you're not following the leading of God, you're not prepared to die. You're just not. You can't be. So we see Simeon, he was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God. He was obedient to the will of God. He was privileged to see the salvation of God. That's what he saw. All those things were connected right there. And then we see the fourth thing, he was serving God. He was serving God. And God revealed something to him that who Jesus was when they were at the temple. Listen to this. Where was he at? Just think what a day. Just think if you'd have laid out that day. You decided to lay home and watch a football game with a pizza crust on your belly. Or you decided you was going to the yard sale, the flea market. And you didn't go to the temple that day. And they brought Jesus into the temple. You'd have missed it. See? You don't know what you're going to miss. You don't know what's going to happen the day that you're not there. You don't know what's going on. And boy, that very day. And then God said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And he revealed it to him. He revealed it to him by his Spirit. And he prophesied. He said what God told him to do. And he got to see something. And so this is how he served God. He'd already told him he wasn't going to die until he'd seen the Christ. And he said, you know what? Here's the thing about this. About death. When you're following God, when you're hearing God, you're following God, you're serving God, you're seeking God, all those things, you're not going to die till God's done with you. Amen. Huh? You're not going to die till God's done with you. It's just not going to happen. And so you got to listen to God. You know, it's an important thing. And after that, he had seen the Savior. Look what he did in verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He's praising. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, he said. And I'm going to show you a couple things that he said there along the way. But right there, what did he do? Man, he praised God. That's what happens when God speaks to you, when God fills you, when God uses you, and you're obedient to God. Guess what? Man, you got praise. That's all you got. We asked this morning. Paul said this morning, all right, anybody got any praises? Oh, it's too noisy. You got to be quieter. This is what we heard. Anybody got to pray? You got a praise in your life? Huh? Man, listen, I told him, I said, well, I got a praise. I said, I got a praise. I'll tell you what it is. Satan's doing everything he can to mess our day up. Man, we've had deaths. We've had sickness. We got snow, sleet, rain. It was everything going on. We got Elizabeth, done got sick. We got one of the sheep, done got sick. I said, but you know what? We're going on with it, man. We're going to get through. We're going to do it. We're going to have it. We're going to have our Christmas program. Huh? We've been ready to kill each other for a month. And, you know, and guess what? We're about ready to kill each other, but what? We're still here. And we're going to get through it. What? You know what? We're not going to let Satan defeat us in this thing right here. We're going to persevere. We're going to put on the armor of God. I got to praise, man, that God's done something. But see, we don't have no praises for God. When we're out of the will of God. We don't have praises for God when we're not seeking God, when we're not hearing God, when we're not following God, and when we're not serving God, we don't have a praise. Huh? Man, it should have been a line. It should have been people going, you know, at school when a teacher, ooh, 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 ooh.